We kick off hour number two from the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. MTNViewChevy.com is where you can search the inventory, and then you can swing in and test drive downtown Chattanooga right off I-24. If you're in that area, make sure and swing in. If you are not, if you're in Knoxville, you can give them a call, find the perfect vehicle you're looking for, get the right price. It's home of the low price promise, and then swing down there to pick it up. I did that a few years ago with a vehicle, made the trip to Chattanooga, and got the best price down there. So make it happen if you're in the market, especially for a brand new Chevy, because they've got the low price promise. They'll meet or beat any advertised price on a new Chevy at Mountain View Chevy, mtnviewchevy.com. So we kind of wrapped up our NBA talk. We may circle back during rapid fire to the game tonight.
The other game that you didn't want to talk to or talk about?
Right, yeah. Right. But we did a full hour on the NBA. I'm proud of us for that. I mean, we're all basketball mm-hmm. guys. We're just not necessarily NBA first basketball guys.
That's fair.
There's been a lot of kind of off-season chatter about Tennessee's basketball coming up, and I'm excited for that season. But something caught your eye during the break, Houston, that may need immediate attention because this is a big, big change for the premier sport in Knoxville, Tennessee, Tennessee football. We were the first place to tell you that the Smoky Grays were going away, like a week before anybody else. Now, other stations might say that you shouldn't listen to, you know, the non-flagship stations.
I guess we could talk about that.
Apparently other stations, even in other much larger cities, have taken it upon themselves to criticize.
For such a insignificant peanut little station, we sure do have the ears and mouths of everybody across the state making sure that their listeners don't listen to us.
I mean, I'm sorry we're not a corporate giant that's in Chapter 11 bankruptcy and don't have all the bells and whistles that come along with that. We're just a ho-hum family-owned operation that, you know, stays in the black and tries to treat its fans
Imagine
the right
that.
Way, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
and take up for the fans when they're trying to be fed, you know, Greg Schiano. Apparently, by not being in the Butch Jones camp, Houston.
Interesting.
That's still viewed as a bad thing.
Yeah.
I would think that as the first station to say, you know, really this Butch Jones guy's not going to work out, I would think that you would get more credit for that, but apparently that's still a negative.
No,
that you were out on Butch Jones
still a negative.
Before everyone else. But we told you the Smoky Grays were going away first. We had that, you know, information, you know, from inside the football rooms over there on Rocky Top. Jeremy Pruitt, an orange and white guy, classic guy. When he thinks of Tennessee, he thinks orange and white. So that's what they're going to go with. Obviously, they're still.
If they wear Smoky Gray, you're going to feel like a big old idiot.
Well, no, he's already said it. No, I mean, he eventually said it publicly.
Yeah, and Lane Kiffin said they weren't wearing black until they rolled them out, right?
Oh, so you think it's a big
hoax? I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying.
Florida game gets here, here they come.
All I'm saying is I never say never. That's all I would say.
Okay.
That's why I didn't write the article. You feel me, Davey? He gets it.
The other note that I was surprised was such a big talking point for fans, but it really was, is that Tennessee was going to wear black cleats.
I didn't want to believe that one. I really didn't. And then I looked today, and 7 minutes ago, Tennessee football account tweets out, "Let the countdown begin." I believe that means today is 99 days to kickoff. How about that? And there's a jersey there with the pants in a locker and the cleats, and the cleats, they are black. So it looks like that's a thing. Tennessee, I'm trying to remember the last time they wore black cleats. 2007? No, I'm sorry. That's not right. They wore them Derek Dooley's first year, and then I think switched to white in his second, and we've had white cleats since. So what's that, 2010, 11? We've had white cleats since 2011, and it appears that they're going to be going back to black cleats this year, something that Tennessee obviously did for a long time. Frankly, for a long time, all college football teams did that because it was the only color of cleat made. And then obviously Nike and Adidas came out with the multicolored cleats, the orange cleats, the red cleats, the yellow cleats, the white cleats with highlights, so on and so forth. But According to this little graphic here on the official Tennessee football account, black cleats it is.
Are they cool black cleats? Or are they
these
like
specific
standard,
cleats are not cool.
Not cool?
These specific cleats have zero swag, absolutely no cool factor. They look like offensive lineman cleats. I hope our team has people with style that know that there are certain things you have to do to black cleats, white socks to make it cool.
So, I mean, I picture that scene in Friday Night Lights where all the guys, you know, Booby Miles has told Comer.
Gotta have a black Nikes.
Yeah. You can't have white Adidas. You got to have black Nikes. And he's got the Sharpie out and he's trying to make his. And then all the guys line up and they've got all that classic, old, like 1989, you know, to 93. Black high top Nike with just the white chest. Is that what we're talking about here? Is that the look? Because
what is the look for what?
I mean, just the basic. You said they're not cool Nikes. That's
what color was Permian's jerseys?
They were either black or white.
Right. My only issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
Orange is closer to white on the color scale than black.
It is?
So it is a very contrasting color. I'm just saying, like, there's, like...
Right. You have on a Tennessee shirt today.
Right.
It is orange and white.
Right.
It looks good together.
Right.
It doesn't contrast. It's not like a light and a dark color together for a purpose.
Orange and black can look good. Obviously, I mean, that's the Halloween color, right?
Right.
It is a very sharp contrast.
Yeah.
Whereas orange and white, there's a little bit more of a blend in there, right? I mean, I have always personally been a fan of white cleats. That said, if you're going to go black cleats, you got to do what Peerless Price did and spat them up. And I said this during the break, and you two looked at me like I had horns coming out of my head. The fact that you don't know what spat means is embarrassing to your families.
Spat.
That's what spats are.
Spat.
Where you tape the top of your shoe, and that's a spat.
No.
He did that. Paying homage to the Pride of the Southland marching band who has spats on their shoes.
I got
it was
you.
A regal thing we back in the day.
We should have known this since Butch Jones is such a band guy. We should have made the connection.
So the
white things that cover the top of the band shoes are called spats?
It minimizes the spats. Those are spats.
So if you spat your football cleats.
It's you use tape.
You tape. You put the white tape on to make it look like you're wearing spats.
Right. There's the spats on the band.
Yes.
See, Peerless's shoe looks just like that shoe. It was a really great thing that I don't even know if he knew he was doing it. But he essentially paid homage to the Pride of the Southland band by spatting the black cleats in 1998 on our way to a national championship. I think that was also the first year we had Adidas. But I'm just hopeful that if they do go black cleats that we can make them look cool. I don't know why it's a thing. I always just care about what my team looks like, and I black cleats after seeing Tennessee in white for the last. I just like the white so much better. I know Bama wears black cleats and only black cleats, and they're Alabama. Whatever. They're Alabama. They can do whatever the hell they want. But like, it has no impact on wins or losses. Obviously, I just think it looks better when Tennessee is orange and white. Period.
This might just be a generation type thing, but like just growing up with the NCAA football video games,
you could change them.
I know, like all my
Did
friends,
you always change them.
Yeah, you never just wore black. It's like that looks really bad.
If you wore black cleats, I always wore black socks.
You always went
to complete the look.
Went orange and white. Orange and white cleats.
Jordan Oliver tweets in and says he's going to go out on a limb and say Jeremy Pruitt doesn't give a damn about the cleats. I think Jeremy Pruitt does. I think he wants them in black cleats.
No, he does. He does.
I think he wants them in black cleats.
He wants them black.
They
spat their cleats at Alabama, right?
A lot of them do.
I'm picturing
what a lot of guys do is they'll wear the high white sock and have like an under sock that's black that comes up mid-tube. So it kind of gives the black cleat, black sock look into a white sock.
Mm.
And then some guys will go like a full leg of white spandex in a sock, and then they'll have just a small black cleat, a lot of their secondary.
I bet you can't do that in college football anymore.
What?
I thought the sock level had to be, the way the socks were had to at least be similar. You know what I mean? Like, Alabama doesn't wear, You know, the NFL has the...
Yeah, the standard full sock. Yeah.
Sock. I thought Alabama's thing was that, you know, you can see their legs, basically. You can see every Alabama player's calf.
Not all of them.
Some of their socks will be a little higher than others.
Now, some of them wear the... That's what I was saying. Some of them have... I can't remember what the player's name was. He had a full white spandex pant on one leg and on one arm.
Weird.
Trying to look like something.
Yeah.
But they've also, I think, just changed the rules on like pad level and stuff.
Oh, they
did. You see this? The NCAA a few weeks ago.
Gotta have a knee pad over.
Yeah, you have to have a knee pad over the knee. You cannot show any stomach. You cannot have. Remember the year Tennessee was running around with the undershirt untucked, and a couple of guys got tackled by it.
Yeah.
Which we all said was stupid. That you cannot do that anymore. You must have your jersey tucked in at all times. So the NCAA kind of has come in and said, you guys are doing a little too much fancy stuff with the uniform. You're done here. But
I mean, we see, like, are you getting a penalty or the ref's just like, hey, you got to tuck the shirt in?
You get a warning in pregame, and if it's there in the game, it's a penalty. They've done that before.
I know,
where you got 15 for showing your knees. Florida got in trouble for it one time in a game.
I know at some point they made a rule that either everyone on the team had to wear the high socks, like where you don't see the calf muscle at all, or everybody had to wear lower socks. I don't know if they relaxed that. I mean, that was like probably 6 or 7 years ago. It might be one of those things where it kind of stayed a rule, but nobody, like, it just can't, they let it be lax, you know, as it went.
It's on the books, but not enforced.
Right. But now, yeah, they've gone through a whole list going into the 2018 season. About the, you know, tucking in the, like, guys do that all the time at practice when it's hot. They want to tuck their practice jersey under the pads,
yeah, to get a little breeze on the stomach.
Right. They're calling it the Ezekiel Elliott rule where you can't show the stomach.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of this is stupid, but I think a lot of it also has to do with safety, especially the pad over the knee thing, even though I don't think a little knee bruise is really the main concern when talking about the human knee in the game of football. But the NCAA, you're going to see a lot more uniform look, forgive me, for the uniforms all across the game this year. I don't know. I thought it was interesting that Tennessee might be going back to black cleats. You mentioned that in that article a few months ago now. Looks like, though, that is going to happen. I don't know. Maybe it'll feel right. I mean, we've been pretty good in the past with black cleats. You know, won a national championship, SEC championship, made another SEC championship. It can work. I just like white. You look faster in white cleats.
We'll hit a break. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It's 3 and Out driven by Toyota Knoxville.
You also look fast if you're just fast. Join.
This segment of the program is brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors, located at 3900 Middlebrook Pike, right here in Knoxville. They've done over 8,000 kitchen makeovers and counting, just like us here at Fox Sports Knoxville. They're locally owned and operated, and you can go see the showroom anytime, Monday through Friday, regular, you know, business-type hours, 8 to 5 type stuff. But then also on Saturday morning, you can swing in and check it out as well, 3900 Middlebrook Pike, right there near the intersection of both the main interstates through Knoxville, I-40 and I-75. It's really easy to get to, 3900 Middlebrook Pike. And online, it's knoxstoneinteriors.com. It's Knoxville's Stone Interiors. They'd love to help you redo your kitchen with new, you know, granite, quartz, or even the recycled glass countertops. They've got all the unique options for you, and you can check them out at the showroom anytime, Monday through Friday and Saturdays from 9 until 2 for your convenience there on the weekend. So check them out. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. If you've been thinking about a renovation, make it happen with Knoxville's Stone Interiors. So we were talking about some of the uniform stuff in college football last segment. Well, in the NFL, they have always been very, very detailed with how the uniforms have to look, the way the players have to dress. They want everything to be standardized across the board. And of course, the big talking point now, yesterday it was announced, the new NFL policy on the anthem and, you know, what players are expected to do, what their options are, and ultimately, you know, that players may be punished for being out on the field and not standing for the anthem, or maybe I should say stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem, which was the exact verbiage by Roger Goodell. In they had his statement, and then they had an NFL policy as well. So people are kind of debating where they are on this. Will it help? Will it hurt? I think this situation is fascinating because originally, I don't think a lot of people have argued what was Colin Kaepernick's protest actually about, actually towards, what was like maybe some of the side effects and some of the ulterior shrapnel that kind of maybe he didn't intend that he and other players that knelt had to decide if they were going to speak out against or not. I will say I don't think any player that knelt ever wanted to hurt the NFL's business and bottom line.
You would hope not.
Because that's their own paycheck.
Right.
It was never a protest of money in the NFL. But what happened is exactly that. The players kneeling hurt, at a minimum, the ratings of the NFL. And then the NFL's response to the players kneeling hurt the ratings even more.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very strange situation to have two entities that were opposed in that moment, the players and the owners, and I guess you could say the league, if you don't want to say owners specifically, but the league and the players were opposed, but both of their actions were hurting the league, which was a very strange situation, and that's what I think the NFL owners are trying to come to grips with and make sure doesn't happen again with their new policy. I don't have all my hot takes ready on this. Like, I don't have one bit. Like, I didn't see this and immediately go to, oh, that's fill in the blank here. Like, there's some nuance here that I think is important. And so I wanted to say, like, what was your initial reaction? Did you have an initial, like, oh, this is a good idea? Or, oh, I'm not so sure, or this is terrible? Like, what was first hit?
For the business of the NFL, my first reaction was they probably got that right. If you're going to be out on the field, please don't kneel. You can stay in the locker room if you want. Protest on your own time. And I think behind the scenes, what they have relayed to the players is, guys, we're all losing money in this battle with each other. Like, we're supposed to be together. And regardless of where you side on the should we be allowed to kneel or not, we've tried it kind of both ways, and both ways are losing us money. You guys like the money. We like paying you the money because that means we're making the money. We need to keep making the money to do that. Let's try to nip any problems in the butt. It took them 3 years too long to do it because they were stupid. But now I think they do finally have it right. But the reaction to the outrage both ways, I mean, it hurt the league. It hurt the league in the eyes of its fans. It hurt the league in the eyes of, frankly, people who don't give a damn about the NFL. And so now they've enacted this policy that I think should be about as close to perfect as you can get. Because the policy doesn't say you can't kneel. It just says if you do, you will be fined. You will be punished. So if that's the case, then everybody gets what they want. If you get to kneel, great. And then the people who don't like you kneeling get to say, ha-ha, he got fined. You give everybody the outcome that they want by doing this, and you give people the option of you don't have to be on the field for the national anthem, at least not by league policy. Team policy could obviously change and dictate that. And if that happens, you know, I don't know what you do, but the problem with this policy, if you're the NFL, is it's about, you know, 25 years too late. The NBA put this in place a long time ago, in response to what was his name? David, was it Abdul Raif?
Yes.
he was sitting down during the national anthem after becoming Muslim, and so they said, you know what, we don't want this to become a religious thing. We don't want this to become a black eye for our league. So we're going to just enact a policy. Both teams on the court, you stand, you know, you respect the flag, and then if you want to do anything on your own time, that's fine. The NBA encourages their coaches and their players to be as outspoken as they want to be once the game is over, and it sounds like that's what the NFL is trying to say. Hey, guys, a lot of things can get taken the wrong way when you just kneel during the anthem. If you guys want to protest or want to discuss these type of things, we encourage you to do so, but do so with words that you can, you know, back up, as opposed to just this thing. And frankly, it's unfortunate because a lot of guys were kneeling for other reasons before Kaepernick. Kaepernick was sitting on the bench, if you'll remember initially. Yeah. He was sitting on the bench, and when asked about it, he said something like, I refuse to honor a flag that represents a country that, and you know, goes on to, I don't have the exact quote pulled up. And then it kind of changed, and I think that was the problem. Like, people were kneeling for different things, and so then people took one message and said, oh, everybody who's kneeling hates the flag. Like, it was really unfortunate kind of the way it happened, but when you do something that's symbolic, like, you kind of leave yourself open to other people filling in the gap of what this means.
And when you can't communicate exactly why.
Right, and that was one of Kaepernick's big problems. Like, I've heard a lot of people say it, and I think I agree. It needed to be somebody besides Kaepernick. To explain, but then that's back to my point, is people were kneeling for different things.
Well, there needed to be some goal too.
I right.
mean, like when you know, during the civil rights era, it was very like when Martin Luther King Jr. spoke, it was very obvious what he wanted. It was very obvious the differences between the way white people could operate in the country
right.
and black people could operate in the country.
I just think all
this
the messages got muddled.
Yeah,
and this wasn't clear. Right. You had certain people, you know, who say, oh, you're anti-American, you're anti-flag. And then it was, you're anti-military. And then there was a lot of explanation, but this guy would explain it different than this guy. And so that was the thing, is like the kneeling meant so many different things that all the messages got lost. And the one that people hated the most was the one that was screamed the loudest, right? So I think if you're the NFL... You know, at first they kind of said, we're going to let them do what they want. And so then your kind of core audience and some people got upset with that. And then they said, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't do that. And, you know, obviously Kaepernick went a while without getting a job, still doesn't have one in the NFL. So then you had, I'm going to use right and left because I think this is kind of a right and left issue. You had a lot of people on the left who do not care about football kind of coming in and telling the NFL how to operate, saying, we're going to boycott your sponsors, we're not going to watch your games. So the NFL, trying to appease them, did some things that really didn't matter because those people weren't your audience anyway. And then you had kind of already alienated your core audience, so you're really losing on both sides here if you're the NFL. And I think that this is finally the realization of, listen, we just got to stop this. Like, this is... It's costing us money no matter what we do. Here's what we're doing moving forward. We can't play the game here, not the football game, obviously, the PR game, and win. Here's our policy. We have to do this to make the most money so you guys can keep getting the big paychecks, so the sponsors keep rolling in, so the ratings keep going up. This is just the way it has to be. And I think this plan that they've laid forward, I think it makes the most sense. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it's morally, you know, intact or accurate. I just think it's probably the best thing for the league when thinking about the bottom line and your image in the communities that you kind of want to hit.
Well, there was a lot of reaction kind of both ways, and we'll get to some of that next. There's still a lot of people that aren't very happy, including the head of the Players Association. We'll get you his quotes on the flip side. And then even, of course, the president has weighed in. We'll play some audio from Donald Trump coming up this hour as well. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back to 3 and Out. Nate Hodges with you alongside Houston Kress and Davey Hudson. you know, I asked you the question, Houston, about your initial take on it, and when, you know, we didn't give you ours. I mean, my initial thought was, okay, this makes sense. You can stay in the locker room if you want to, and for any reason. And then if you stand, you know, if you're a guy that's always standed and saluted the flag or whatever, or stood and respected the flag, and then there's a game where all of a sudden you're in the locker room, then they can ask you in the post game, hey, why were you in the locker room? And you can say,
right,
well, I had the flu, I was getting an IV, you know, right before the game, or
pregame jitters, had to take a dump.
I mean, you could just say, yeah, it was a personal reason. I'm not protesting anything. You could just.
Robert Meacham used to do that. He'd just throw up in a trash can on the sidelines for a few minutes.
You could just defuse the situation. But I think because the ownership did this as a collective ownership group and didn't loop in the Players Association at all, I think this is still going to be a thing. Like, I think it eventually goes away.
I am surprised that the Players Association wasn't involved.
It's a classic.
I thought that's what was happening. I thought they could all, like, I really thought this would be a collective decision that maybe some people didn't like, but you understood the end game.
Goodell said, we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something we think we owe, but we are also very sensitive to give players choices. He said the vote was unanimous among owners. Jed York of the 49ers abstained from the vote. And then I thought the NFL Players Association executive director, his quotes were the weirdest to me, because I would have thought at least there would have been some, like, compromising between players and owners. Wouldn't that be the best solution if you have the majority of the players saying, yeah, I like this, like, this is a good way to do it, and the majority of the owners saying, yeah, this is a good way to do it, and kind of meeting in the middle. He said, quote, history has taught us that both patriotism and protest are like water. If the force is strong enough, it cannot be suppressed. Today, the CEOs of the NFL created a rule that people who hate Today, the CEOs of the NFL create a rule that people who hate autocracy. How do you say this? Autocracies? I'm should reject.
I'll look it up.
Management has
chosen
the same freedom of speech that protects someone who wants to salute the flag in an effort to prevent someone who does not wish to do so. The sad irony of this rule is that anyone who wants to express their patriotism is subject to the whim of a person who calls himself an owner. I know that not all of the NFL CEOs are for this, and I know that true American patriots are not cheering today. So he's completely against this whole policy, but he's the executive director of the Players Association. How is that?
Autocracy.
Yeah, sorry, it was confusing because it was plural. Who hate autocracies.
Okay. Autocracies.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Greek tree.
Something. I mean, he's basically saying that, like, you know, this isn't America because you don't have freedom to, you know, freedom of speech. But that's the thing about it. Like, you're playing for these teams. Like, these teams can have rules, you know. Like, you don't have the freedom to do anything you want at any time. We joked about the emperor's new clothes. Like, if you come to work completely unclothed, like, there's going to be consequences. You can't even go in a restaurant, you know, no shoes, no shirt. Like, you still have, there are still rules in America. You can't just do whatever you want because it's free, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people kind of confuse the lines, right? I know that for some reason, like, people get really frustrated when you remind them that players are employees. You know what I mean? Like people think that that's demeaning, and I don't really understand why. But you say, like, these guys own the team; they're the CEOs of the team. they own, you know, the rights, the imaging, the this, the that, the stadiums, the this, the that, the this, and these players play for them. They get paid. They are employees. And it's like, well, the players make the league. It's like, well, hang on. Yes, we know. Just like employees make up the majority of the company, but the CEO, the president, and the owner of the company are still the owner, and everyone else is still the employee. And I, the only thing I'm surprised about is that the NFL is supposed to operate a little bit more like there is supposed to be a little bit more ownership on behalf of the players as far as their involvement with real ownership. Like, it is supposed to be more of a partnership, which is why I'm surprised that the owners just voted without any contact really with the Players Association. But the bottom line is this: they saw that they were losing money. They wanted it to stop. They made this decision. You can still protest in a way by not coming out onto the field, but they think they have a obligation to the military, to the country, what that stands for, to demonstrate an act of patriotism by playing the anthem, and please do not step on that. Like, in a way, the owners are saying, this right here is not about you. Like, this is about other things. The game is all about you. You get the game. The post-game interview, what you do during the week, all those interviews, those can be about you. But this is about something else. This is about something that's bigger than you, even if you don't necessarily like everything about it. This is about a lot of other people who have done things that you may not like, you may not fully understand, but the reality is that for decades and decades, those are the people who have allowed us to do what we do here.
I agree with you for the most part. I do think with the NFLPA and their current grievances that they have had recently with league officials and the owner group, it's going to cause some more strife once the collective bargaining agreement comes back up into play, because they are already frustrated with the, granted they agreed to it, but how Roger Goodell pretty much has complete authority over all disciplinary decisions, and this is just going to be another thing they're going to put on the list of, hey, we should have been involved in some form or fashion. I'm just looking at it from their perspective.
No,
not necessarily
yeah.
what I agree with, but
this is what's the dumbest thing about this is that Roger Goodell and the players that are still saying they're going to fight this are most of the time saying the same thing. But they can't get out of their own way. Like, this is what Goodell said. It was unfortunate that on-field protest created a false perception among many that thousands of NFL players were unpatriotic. Mm-hmm. This is not and was never the case. So you've got Roger Goodell representing the owners saying, we know our guys are patriotic. We know our guys love troops and love people and really probably love police officers that they view are doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Colin Kaepernick, at his core, if I can say it for him, was protesting
against the bad ones, a
minority group of police right. officers that he felt like were being unjust, and not just that they were being, criminals basically, but that they were allowed to do so by the system or whatever.
Right. Right.
And when you show up though with the practice wearing pigs as cop socks,
that's a whole other topic. But the point is, like, Goodell...
Maybe Kaepernick wasn't the best example for you to use here.
But Goodell is saying, like, I know Colin Kaepernick wasn't trying to make a statement about like, the troops and patriotism.
That's why he went from sitting to kneeling in the first place.
Right.
He basically said, yeah, that's true. I want to protest these people who are doing it bad while also... I mean, he was asked to kneel by a former military member who said it's disrespectful to just sit over there with your head down. Would you mind kneeling... just to show some reverence to the situation, and Kaepernick actually said yes, because, to your point, he wasn't kneeling against the troops, against, maybe a little bit against America, but, you know, he was kneeling against the bad parts, not the good parts.
So, but then, and then you have Chris Long and Malcolm Jenkins talking about this, and they even, like, Long even tweets, it's a fear of a precedent turning his base against a corporation. This is not patriotism. Don't get it confused. These owners don't love America more than the players, demonstrating and taking real action to improve. It also lets you, the fan, know where our league stands. The middle of that is him saying the owners don't love America more than the players. And Roger, I'm like, Chris, Roger Goodell just said that. Like, you guys are saying the same thing, and you're still arguing.
Right.
This is so stupid. The owners are saying, we know you guys are patriotic, but when you guys kneel, our core audience thinks you're not.
Right.
You dumb players. You're millionaires. Like, let's figure this out. And I think it's a mistake by ownership to not sit down with Damari Smith and say...
Well, that's why they're saying the same thing to reporters, thinking that they disagree with each other. It's because they didn't have any conversation.
Jenkins says, I will not let it silence me or stop me from fighting. This has never been about taking a knee, raising a fist, or anyone's patriotism, but doing what we can to affect real change for real people. That's exactly what Roger Goodell said. He said it's not about patriotism. That's why you shouldn't kneel, because our audience thinks that's what you're doing. How do they not see this?
Because they don't communicate.
I mean, I guess not. I mean, Damari Smith is his. I don't know if you caught the little owner slip in there. He won't say owner anymore.
Oh.
He calls them all NFL CEOs, and he only uses the word owner when he wants to use the slave reference.
Oh. Oh.
The sad irony of this rule is that anyone who wants to express their patriotism is subject to the whim of a person who calls himself an owner. That's the only time the NFLPA's guy said the word owner. It was almost sarcastically like, oh yeah, they call them, like he won't acknowledge that these people or families own a football team, a business. I don't think any NFL owners ever said they own the players.
Well, that maybe we just need to get rid of that word altogether. I'm just a car CEO. You're just a small business CEO, really.
Yeah, really. That's, yeah, you don't. Can I own land? Is that legal? Can people own land?
No. You're
no.
A, no.
Yeah.
You're a property CEO.
Okay. There you go. It's just the stuff that they're fighting about is dumb. Like, it would be so much better if both sides would eliminate a lot of the stupid verbiage.
Yeah.
And both sides could get actual change done on what the players really care about, and the NFL would, you know, not take a hit. It's I don't think it's over. And you know, you can tweet us at Fox Sports Knox with your thoughts. I think this thing's going to continue to roll on. We'll come back final segment hour two. We got Ryan Callahan coming up at 9 o'clock, so we'll spin on this a little bit more and then shift gears then with some Tennessee football and recruiting talk. So stick around. It's Fox Sports Knoxville. We're talking about the NFL policy about the anthem. I went to Deadspin because I figured they'd have some alternate views potentially. This is one paragraph. The policy was lawyer just enough, taking care to note that clubs, not players, will be fined if anyone might dare to protest. Teams were also granted the opportunity to establish their own work rules on the matter. That there is no fine schedule or even a solid definition of how to show respect isn't the point. Lest anyone forget who's in charge, the final sentence of the policy serves as a reminder. The commissioner will impose appropriate discipline on league personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. This policy, this policy has so much wiggle room it manages to not actually clear anything up. It's public relations, nothing more. That's what's interesting. It's like now every team's going to have to then decide what they do or don't do. I mean, you could have entire teams just stay in the locker room for the anthem, right? And no one gets fined. And then you could have the opposite of a Marshawn Lynch situation. You could have a white player who stayed in the locker room in a post game have to answer questions. Hey, are you against America? Why'd you stay in the locker room? I just did it so I wouldn't get fined. Like, I wanted to be on the side of my teammates. I also didn't want to force them to get fined, or, you know, like it could make it worse. I don't know. I guess it'll depend on how players decide to react to it. Donald Trump has reacted. Here's what Trump had to say about the new policy, and of course, this will just make more people mad. Here's Donald Trump.
I think that's good. I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. I think the people pushed it forward. This country's very smart. We have very smart people. And, you know, that's something ideally could have been taken care of when it first started. It would have been a lot easier. But if they did that, they're doing the right thing.
That's Donald Trump. Maybe they shouldn't be in the country. That's going to flame up a lot of people's anger.
He just couldn't help himself.
He was kind of right about, like, something should have been done immediately. I mean, really. I mean, what I think would have been best if the owners had gone to the Players Association and said, hey, this is hurting both of us. Like, the message...
Which it is.
The message you're sending by kneeling for the anthem is not being received. Even if you don't want to blame the players, even if you want to say, look, players, we know you're trying to send a certain message. And like you mentioned, Houston, different players were sending different messages. But the fans weren't getting the right message. And that's the crux of the whole issue. And when it hurts your bottom line with no real purpose, like if your fans aren't getting the protested message anyway, why would you want to hurt the bottom line? Chris Long's like, this is just to protect the bottom line. Like, no crap, Sherlock. Yeah, it's your bottom line. It's the league's bottom line. It's everybody's bottom line. I'm sorry your dad was an NFL, you know, big shot, and you've always been rich. I mean, there's a lot of players in the NFL that are making 400 and something thousand. They're going to be able to make that for like the next 2 years. Then they're going to be done. And they're going to, you know, every year they make 400,000 is a really big deal. You know, like, it's weird to me that players would want to hurt their own bottom line, but well, we know where the league stands now. Yeah, the league wants to be successful. That's so bad. I don't get that. I don't understand why the players and the owners can't have a conversation. And I'll blame the owners too, because the NFLPA says it was never consulted about the policy. Damari Smith said he's pledging to, quote, challenge any aspect of it that is inconsistent with the collective bargaining agreement. So as you mentioned, Davey, you know, that's going to be a whole thing too. Like, they're going to make it part of the next collective bargaining agreement, I'm sure. There's still the case with Colin Kaepernick over his collusion thing about not being able to be hired back into the league. I don't know. I guess this will be good PR for the league to its core audience, as this post suggests. But I'm not sure it really helps anything if you still have players that decide to either kneel or collectively as a group or a whole team stay in the locker room. The Jets owners already come out and said that they're not going to tell their players they can't kneel. So does that mean you're going to have some owners? Are you going to have the Jets owner saying, yeah, come play for the Jets, free agent. We let you kneel and we pay the fine.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, is this going to become a competitive advantage or disadvantage?
Mm-hmm. Or at least it can. I'm sure it will.
Like Jerry Jones is going to say, if you come to Dallas, you got to stand. This is Texas, by God.
Yeah.
We're Americans.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it was a unanimous vote.
To approve the policy, you could still then break the policy and just assume consequences. Right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Seems like you would vote against it if you wanted the players to be able to kneel, not vote for it and then say, yeah, come kneel.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see how it plays out. Is this something that just kind of burns in the moment and then passes through, or is it something that's still going to be ongoing? I mean, I think it's still going to be a thing when the season starts. I do think if people kind of settle in handling it the same way every time, some consistency will then make it less of a talking point, but it'll be a big talking point as the 2018 football season gets rolling here in a few months. Just 99 days away from Tennessee's kickoff, and we talked to Ryan Callahan of 24. Dadgummit, Davey. 24/7
it gets
sports,
you, doesn't it?
Next, Go Vols 247. We'll get his take on some of the latest recruiting developments for Tennessee football. Stick with us as we kick off hour number 3 right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Davey.